twice in a row. That's the first time, and I can't tell you how many weeks I've remembered to actually do that. And I know a lot of people use these sermons for sleep aids, so I didn't want to disappoint anybody on that. I don't see Kathy Holland here tonight, but she is telling me about a cartoon she came across. It was a man and a woman, and I guess had arrived at home, and the man said, "Who are you?" And he took off her mask and his mask, and she looked at him and she said, "You know, with masks on, all you husbands look alike." She brought the wrong one home. The reason I tell you that is because I expect at some point that we're going to see an upgrade here in the congregation from people trying to slip something like that around. So we talked about legacy this morning. Legacy, I believe, when we think about our Christian heritage, that has been passed down to us through the centuries, is really one of the most important things that we have. We talked this morning about the legacy that the church passed down, Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, when Peter was talking to the people and he encouraged them to save themselves. In verse 41, it said those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. That number is the church. And so then it tells us what the new Christians did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And when you think about that, we still have these things. The average generation is about 25 years long from the time that this occurred. There's been about 80 generations of the church that have faithfully passed down this legacy. And the reason I bring that up is because it's really important for us to guard this legacy. When we talk about the apostles' teaching, we have the word in its pure form. God made no mistakes, and it has been kept in its pure form, though at times men have kind of disregarded it. They've put it up on the shelf or they've lost it. Here we have it. The fellowship we enjoy, hopefully, on a weekly and sometimes daily basis with the church. The breaking of bread is certainly talking about our first day of the week worship, where the communion is the focal point. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is honored and remembered, and what it means to us, and to prayer. So these four things that the church has passed down really have become our legacy. We mentioned this morning that was one thing my parents were really careful to do, and Carolyn's parents were really careful to do when we were growing up. Even though we didn't think much of it all the time, they brought us to the worship services. They brought us to Bible class. If the doors were open, they brought us. And sometimes we wished that they hadn't. Excuse me. Quite frankly, there were times when we would rather be doing something else. And that's pretty natural for a child. But then as we looked back over our lives and we realized what a blessing that was, and really what a legacy they left us, a legacy where we have the opportunity to worship and to fellowship. They made sure that the Bible was not only available in our house, but that it was read in our house. I don't remember sitting down to a meal at our home without a prayer. I don't remember going to bed at night without a prayer. And so we had this legacy passed down to us, and we certainly tried to do the same thing for our kids. And as I watch our kids starting to have kids, they seem to be doing the same thing. That's what happens with a good legacy, is it's passed down from generation to generation to generation. And so that's really what I wanted us to think about this morning and this evening, is what kind of legacy are we leaving behind? I'll read again the definition of a legacy. It's anything handed down by an ancestor or a predecessor, a gift of property, especially personal property as money, by a will. When you think about the New Testament, that's exactly what it is. It's a new covenant. It's a new will. It is, in fact, what God has left for us. Through the church, we have many different things that have been passed along, but especially through Him. When we talk about anything that comes through the church that is good, it originated with Him. And then we talked about that, and we talked about the fact that these four things, the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, bread and prayer are all part of a legacy of service that we are to have within our lives. It's our service to God. One of the things that I've always been interested to observe, I don't mean it's been impressive or that I've had any judgment on the matter, at least I shouldn't have. I've tried not to. But as I've observed people through the years, it's interesting to me to see how many people want to go to heaven who don't want to serve now. And it makes me wonder, do they have the slightest idea what heaven is? Heaven is not a big spa in the sky where we're going to be pampered. Heaven is going to be a place of eternal service. If you're serving Him now in His way, He wants you to serve Him forever. And He's made all the provisions for that. But if we don't, it just always makes me shake my head and make me wonder what makes us think that we would even want to be in heaven with a God who we thought so little of that we couldn't be bothered in our service. And so that's the one side of it. The other part of the legacy that we have that I wanted to discuss today was salvation. We looked at Ephesians 1:18. I want to read three passages fairly quickly. One is Ephesians 1:18. The Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus says this, "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints." We have heaven left to us from our Father. You think of all the gifts that could be handed down, and this is the most precious, I believe, is this inheritance of salvation. And Paul is saying to the church here, I'm praying for you that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, that you can see this. And so let me ask you, can you see this? Can you see this glorious legacy that God has given to us, this inheritance, the hope that we have in this inheritance? It's important that we do because it's what sustains us. I look at a lot of things, I probably more than's healthy for me, quite frankly, but I look at a lot of things that are happening in the nation right now, and I'm concerned for the nation. I look at a lot of things that are happening within the church right now, and I'm concerned for the church. But I have to tell you, I'm not necessarily that moved to concern for myself, because I'm planning on being in heaven someday. God is planning on me being in heaven someday, much more importantly. And so by that, I mean, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of aggravations that we'll go through in life, but that's just part of life. That's part of the test. I'm not saying that we accept it. As a matter of fact, there are some things that are happening right now that I think would be sinful to accept, and I don't think that we should do that. What, not the least of which is this attempt, both by the Supreme Court and different governmental organizations throughout the United States to try and limit the number of people that can come to worship. That should not be tolerated. We have first and foremost the obligation to God, but secondly, we have a constitution that supersedes our Supreme Court, it supersedes our president, it supersedes all of our government officials. And it gives us, within the Bill of Rights, the right to assemble, the freedom of religion, and they cannot infringe upon that. And we don't need to allow them to infringe upon that. We need to do it in the right way. We need to do it with the right attitude, but we do need to take a stand on that. I'm convinced. But having said that, it's not the end of the world for us. We're going to heaven. This is our legacy. This is what we need to keep in our focus. If we lose that focus and we allow all the other things to get in our way, it's going to get in the way of our service. We can handle these things as part of our service, but we cannot let them take place of our service. He wants us, our eyes, the eyes of our heart, to be enlightened that we may know the hope to which He has called us, the riches of His glorious inheritance. Can you see that? is it important to you? Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. It's hard for me to read this passage without thinking of Christy Blank's grandfather, because he was a teacher, I guess, for decades. And they said whenever he would conclude his Bible class, he would read this passage, or he would quote this passage. Acts 20, verse 32, the Apostle Paul says, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." We have an inheritance, a glorious legacy given to us by God. We find out about it through the word of his grace, but it is a gift of God that has been passed, that he has passed down from generation to generation. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. "For this reason, since we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." This is our legacy of service, but notice how he continues. "Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." This is these are two of the things we need, endurance and patience. Without that, our faith is not very worthwhile, is it? "That you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We see these two legacies coming together, our legacy of service and the gift of salvation that God has given to us, this inheritance that we keep looking at. Later in Colossians, in chapter 3 and verse 23, he connects these two things again, our work, our service to the inheritance. Colossians 3:23. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Maybe this expresses it as well as anything that we're going to look at when we talk about the service that we have, the work that we have, as a result of that work, as a reward for that work, we have an inheritance. Saved by grace, you bet. Difference between salvation and the inheritance. And we cannot remember that. I realize that they are inextricably linked. You can't have salvation, or you can't have the inheritance without salvation. But notice how the reward of heaven is linked to works. And it is linked to works throughout Scripture. This is not a one-time thing. I would encourage you at some point, if you want to have a good study, just look up the word reward and see if you can find one area that it is not linked to what you do, to your works. I don't think you'll find it. If you do, let me know, because I've not run across it. And yet I've seen time after time after time the reward being linked to work. But again, we have these two things coming together. Now, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. His intent, talking about God, was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know how through the church we make things known to rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. But it says it, doesn't it? I don't have to know everything about the Scriptures in order to see the blessings, though. And this is one of the blessings I really want to call to your attention, is verse 11. "According to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." When we talk about the legacy that we have, the legacy of service that we do, the legacy of salvation or the inheritance that we have that is a gift from God, yet again tied to our service, it's part of his eternal purpose. It's always been there. Before the creation of the world, we were chosen in Christ to be holy and blameless in him, we are told. This eternal purpose explains predestination. Too many people take the word predestination and they try and make it something that it is not. They try and say that it means that God determined before you were even born whether you're going to be saved or lost. That's nonsense. It is not consistent with any other part of the Scriptures. The predestination that the Scriptures teach about is a predetermined plan that God has for us, and it is linked to His eternal purpose. Once we understand that God has an eternal purpose for us and for the church, it helps, I believe, to understand some of these other things. Now, having said all that, let me ask you this. Are you satisfied with the direction your life's going? Are you satisfied with the type of legacy that you're leaving? If you're a parent for your kids, for the friends that you have, for those around you, are you satisfied with that? Or do you think that you've got work to do? One of the things that I think that we really always need to keep in mind is though that we need to have a plan to be in heaven with God someday and to be doing our best to be pressing ahead with that. The idea of being satisfied with our part, I don't believe is something that we ought to do. I don't mean that we shouldn't be pleased with the effort at a given point, but I mean we should never have it finished. We're always working towards that. We're always serving the Master. And so, again, are you satisfied with what you're leaving behind as far as your legacy? Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, said this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where's your heart? Our jobs are important to us. Hopefully, whatever you do for a living, you give it your all. You give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. There are things that we have with our physical things. We take care of the things that we have been entrusted with. I've always loved Clay's comment, and I've heard it from others before, but it is this idea of leaving things better than you found them. I think it's one of the things that farmers have an understanding on, especially if the farm or the ranch has been passed down from generation to generation. You leave it better than it was given to you. Well, that's what we need to be doing. And so from a physical standpoint, we do take care of the physical things that we have, but we cannot ever lose sight that it's the spiritual that we are the most concerned with. The other, I don't want to say it's incidental because it's part of the physical life, the physical world God has placed us in, but it's the spiritual. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 may be the best understanding that we can have of the physical. And it gives us, I believe, the proper perspective when we talk about the legacy that we're leaving and the focus that we have. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. "By the grace that God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. Someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds. No one can lay any other foundation than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Paul brought the gospel to them. He preached the good news of Jesus Christ. This is our foundation, and no one can lay any other foundation. Verse 12. "If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day," talking about the final day, "will bring it to light. It'll be revealed with fire, and fire will test the quality of each man's work." This is something for those of you who are parents especially. When you think about what you're going to be passing on to your kids, are you more concerned about the things that will burn, or are you more concerned about the things that cannot burn? I mentioned that beautiful house I was looking at in South Carolina or North Carolina, I can't remember which, but they called it a true legacy house. The idea this is something that'd be passed down from generation to generation. It'll burn. The rivers that bordered it will burn. The waterfall will burn. At the end, the earth and everything in it will melt. The elements will melt with the heat. It's going to be gone. And so the point of this passage, I do not believe, is to say, so don't have any consideration for the physical. I don't think there is anything within Scripture that tells us to just disregard our physical things, including the physical joys that are appropriate for us to take. If you're building something physical, I think that it is just fine to be able to have a proper amount of satisfaction with that. Whatever it is that you have, your estate, I think that's great. Make it nice, but don't make that your legacy. Make what doesn't burn your legacy. Fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he built survives, he'll receive his reward. If it's burned up, he'll suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. The physical that we leave behind is going to burn, so don't make that your focus in life. We have a legacy to leave behind, whether we are parents and we're talking about it for our children, or whether we are talking about those that we are that are within our circle of influence, whether it's somebody who works for us, or our friends, or whoever that might be. There's one more passage that I want to call to your attention, and it's found in Matthew chapter 20. And it's the parable Jesus talks about with the landowner, and you're very familiar with this parable. I'm not going to read the entire parable, but the idea is that the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner went out early in his morning to hire men to work. And he promised them a denarius, a day's wages for a day's work. And so they worked about 12 hours a day back then, kind of like some of you guys do. Maybe some of y'all look at that and think, boy, that'd be kind of nice just to scale back to 12. But whatever it is, he hired them at the first hour, and they were happy to be hired. Third hour, he went out again. There were some that hadn't been hired. He hired them. Sixth hour, ninth hour, again, same thing. They came to work for him. At the 11th hour, he went out, and there were some still standing around, and he hired them. And then when everything was said and done, he called them together and he paid them their wages. And he paid those at the end the same as he did those at the beginning. There's something to this. You can't get heaven more than once. You can't have this legacy of salvation more than once, or eternal life more than once. I realize that God may give us certain extra responsibilities later on. Some of the parables seem to indicate that, but that's not what this is talking about. If we find ourselves starting late, start now. You can't start any earlier than this moment, but start now. I've watched way too many people just tear themselves up. As a matter of fact, I was talking about that just this afternoon. I have had the opportunity to study with a number of people who were literally on their death's bed or near it, somewhere on it. And it was interesting to visit with them, that they knew what the Scripture said. And very often they would say something along the lines of, I know I need to do that, but I would feel like a hypocrite, or I've led my life this way. I'm gonna go with that. And it's one of the saddest things you can have, because those words will follow them into judgment. If you haven't started on a legacy that doesn't burn, the encouragement to us all tonight is to start now. And if you have, keep up the good work. The invitation is open. If you need to respond, won't you do that while we stand and sing?